Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My first guest is the New York State Comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, out with a new report just this morning on the transformation of Wall Street. Comptroller DiNapoli, welcome back to WNYC, and boy, do I wish it was under different circumstances.
Yeah, Brian, it's always good to be with you, but I look forward to the time when we could be talking about good news instead of more bad news.
So you may not be calling us the next Detroit, but you are now projecting in this report just out this morning the biggest job loss number that I've seen yet for New York, 225,000 over the next 2 years. Where does that come from?
Well, that's a statewide number, and you know, I think as we're all analyzing the data, you know, we have to acknowledge it's very much a moving target. So I think as we, you know, continue to deal with the fallout from you know, this crisis, you might very well be seeing even larger numbers. So, you know, we analyze that about 55,000 jobs in finance statewide will be lost, about 40,000 in securities, another 15,000 in other finance, and no surprise, the biggest component of that job loss would be right here in the boroughs of New York City. And then, you know, we like to brag in the good times about the multiplier effect for every job created on Wall Street and in financial services. We estimate two additional jobs are created in the boroughs, at least an additional job outside of the boroughs in the state of New York. So the reverse multiplier kicks in as well. So we're estimating with that reverse multiplier effect about another 170,000 jobs on a statewide basis will be lost by the time, you know, this rolls through, and we're projecting that over a two-year period. So it's a very significant job loss, and really, we're just seeing the beginning of it, and you know, there's more of the impact of this to be felt.
And again, I wish we didn't have to be talking like this, but we wonder if those jobs will ever come back as they have in the past, because you peg this not to just the recession in a cyclical sense, but what you call a transformation on Wall Street away from an investment banking model. What does that mean?
Well, basically, you know, we went through these very, very strong years of performance, and so much of it had to do with a very highly leveraged, you know, business model. And obviously that has collapsed. And what I think you're going to see with Wall Street is much more of a traditional banking model, much more conservative view of things, and a you know, having more reserves built up. What that no doubt will mean will be lower employment in terms of jobs, a smaller financial services sector, lower profits as well. You won't see the, you know, the great spikes that we saw in, you know, 04, 05, 06, even 07. That may sound negative, but Brian, on the positive side, you're more likely to have stability. So we are having this transformation in Wall Street and financial services. What we will trade off in terms of volatility and high profits, we will gain in more stability. And I guess with how everybody's been feeling now that we've been in the downside of this cycle, stability might be a very good and very welcome change. So Wall Street's still going to be a big part of New York City, a big part of New York State, and that's important to our economy, but it's going to look different than it did, you know, a year or two ago, and you're probably not going to see anytime soon or perhaps ever the kind of wild profits that we saw in, you know, going back just a couple of years ago.
Well, what does that mean in terms of your long-term projections? Like, you know, the question is still out there. Are these jobs going to resettle on Wall Street when they come back, or are they going to go to Shanghai or London or somewhere else? What was your total number for rough Wall Street employment, let's say, as of a year ago? And when this all settles back into the less risk-taking but more stable financial industry that you project, maybe a couple of years from now, how many jobs do you think it would be then in New York?
Well, at its peak, we were probably talking about 200,000 jobs. So if you're figuring a loss in the city, you know, of a little under, you know, 40,000 jobs for securities, you know, that's still a very significant, you know, employment opportunity. And, you know, what we need with that stability then is the ability for people to not only be employed and to be getting, you know, some bonuses, but to be spending that money so that all the vendors and the legal services that, you know, depend directly on that industry, the restaurants, you know, downtown, that they can, you know, come back as as well. And that's where, you know, it becomes a little more difficult to predict, you know, what the real fallout is, you know, with the downtime. But, you know, you're already starting to hear anecdotally, you know, in some of the restaurants and shops, you know, particularly located near Wall Street, you know, they're just not getting the volume, they're not getting the traffic that they had been getting before. So at a time where people aren't sure if they're getting, you know, their layoff notice, even if they're going to still have that job, you know, rightfully so, people being very conservative about how they're spending their money. And you know, that's why we, you know, this does need to stabilize. It does need to settle out so that, you know, some of the, you know, consumer activity that we saw generated from the sector starts to come into place again.
Now, my guest is New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli. We have maybe 10 minutes for questions for him if anybody wants to get in at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Give us a call. Then we'll talk to Neil Irwin, by the way, from The Washington Post, who's really into the guts of this Citigroup bailout and how it's supposed to work. But for Tom DiNapoli right now, the New York State Comptroller, 212-433-9692. And go ahead and post to our webpage, should the government bail out Citigroup? And if so, how? Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Comptroller DiNapoli, here's another uncomfortable question, and I hate, again, to even have to ask it, but I understand that there's some kind of law that pension funds cannot be invested in stocks that are worth less than $5. And as of the second half of last week, Citigroup was trading under $5. How invested is the New York State Pension Fund, which you control, in Citigroup? And does the law require you to get out?
I can't give you the number off the top of my head of how much we're in Citigroup. Obviously, we're in Citigroup, where we've been in all the big financial players, but we don't have that requirement of the $5 figure.
So it's some kind of other pension funds have that?
Yeah, I would think so. I'm not familiar with you know, with the $5 figure, but you know, that hasn't triggered a selling on our part.
Okay, and while I'm on the pension funds, can you meet your obligations? Or like the automakers, might we be seeing the threat of a reduction in benefits to New York State retirees as things go south to the extent that they are?
Well, we have a couple things in play with our pension fund. First of all, we're very large and we're very diversified, you know, which has been our strength. And going into the downturn, you know, which had us in a different position than many other public pension plans in this country, we were a fully funded public pension fund. In other words, we had more than enough assets to cover our liabilities. Obviously, with, you know, with how things have been going, we've been taking a loss, as other funds have been taking a loss. In fact, at the time of the real meltdown earlier in the latter part of October, we estimated a loss of as much as 20%. Of course, the day we put out that notice of that estimate was the day that the market shot up almost 1,000 points. And that's the difficulty. You know, you can't value a pension fund, you know, which is there to provide benefits, you know, on a lifetime basis on a day-to-day basis. So the long and the short of it is we went into this downturn fully funded, and we value our fund on March 31st of every year. That's the number that we peg, you know, in terms of seeing where we're at and then seeing what kind of contribution rates we have to charge to our employers. Because of our strength in recent years, we actually in September were able to cut the contribution rate that the government employers pay in, local governments, state government as well.
Really? In September?
In September. And again, it's driven by the numbers. We do a smoothing, you know, based on a five-year average, and our actuary, you know, we go by the numbers. The actuary said, again, because we've been having some great years, we could actually cut by about 1% the contribution rate. So when we cut that rate, we put out a very clear number. Notice, don't expect that to happen again. In fact, with what we see, it's more than likely that there'll be an increase in contribution rate. And also keep in mind, Brian, again, as part of planning for our local government employers and state government employer as well, we announce in advance. So the rate that we announced in September of 08 is due in February of 2010. So you know, the reality is, for now, people should not worry about their New York State pension. We're in fine shape with it. If I was projecting for what we're going to announce it's the next year that's going to be due in 2011. I wouldn't be surprised if there would be an increase, but pension benefits are guaranteed by the state constitution. If we have a shortfall, that money has to be made up by, you know, by contributions largely from employers. Employee contributions are a piece of this as well. So, you know, people ask this all the time. It's an important question, but the pension benefits are safe. They are secure. In the short run, we're benefiting from the fact that we had five very, very strong years, and that really, you know, built up our fund to the point that we can, you know, we can weather this tough time in a way that we're actually able to put some relief on municipal budgets.
We got a sentence of good news out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the troubling things. It isn't all bleak and bad. There is a little, you know, there is some rays of sun here or there. But there's no doubt this is a we've had downturns before. Look, we've talked about it on your show before. Remember back, you know, 2000, 2001, the tragedy of 9/11, that exacerbated an existing downturn, and we lost with our pension fund some $30 billion, you know, in that time frame. But you know what, Brian? Beginning in 03 and then 04, 05, 06, 07, we had the best years we ever had. So the message is, we've been through this before. This feels a little different because of the kinds of transformations that are going on. It's probably going to be as deep, if not deeper, than the downturn earlier in the decade. And it may last longer because New York being the world capital for financial services, you know, we are going to be the epicenter of the downturn. And as we've been talking about also, it has an impact on city revenues. Yeah. It has impact on New York State revenues. City and state have some real tough budget decisions that have to be worked out.
From that comments page about whether the government should bail out Citigroup, Sean from Astoria writes, if Citigroup wants public financing, they should expect commensurate public ownership, tit for tat. And there is some of that in that plan. Susan from Kingston writes, where is this bailout going to end? Is there any interest in the powers that be in trying to retrieve some of the dollars paid out to the former CEOs of these bailed out companies? And Marvin in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marvin.
Hi, good morning, Brian. First, before I pose my suggestion to the comptroller, I want to congratulate him for far exceeding what I thought you would do when you became controller. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I would like
you have
you
the
to
Marvin spread... the Marvin seal of approval.
Well, it's worked before for others, my friend.
Good.
Controller, I would like you to perhaps convey some of your sapience to the Controller Thompson, because on the very morning that you're speaking about these issues, where New York City has a multiplicity of threats staring it in the face, the same morning that Controller Thompson is now saying, now we must raise taxes. Now we must bring up the issue of a commuter tax. Now we must raise automobile registration taxes. I would think that although they do have to be paid for, all of these things that we're doing, at some point in time, somebody has to understand, don't make the city distasteful to the international community.
And by the way, Marvin, since you brought it up, we are actually, and I guess you didn't know this, but we are actually trying right now to get in touch with New York City Controller Bill Thompson to see if he'll come on next hour and talk about that auto registration plan that that he's floating. So, Bill Thompson, if you're out there, call our office. We want you on the air next hour. But New York State Controller Tom DiNapoli, what do you say to Marvin in the Bronx?
Well, Marvin raises an important point. You know, in this tough time, you know, the last thing people want to hear are more expenses. Keep in mind, Bill Thompson's, you know, suggestions dealt with another very specific and challenging problem, and that is financing for the MTA. And, you know, the reality is, given the shortfalls that the MTA has, and some of that has to do with, you know, poor choices of the past. You've got new leadership there that's been trying to turn things around, but this economy has hit the MTA as well. We are going to have to come up with some tough choices in terms of how to deal with the operating gap in their budget and certainly their capital plan as well. I think Bill's trying to put some other suggestions on the table. We are all waiting very anxiously. Shortly after Thanksgiving, Dick Ravitch and his commission are going to come up with some financing options for us to look at, and I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying I have any inside information, but if not Bill Thompson's suggestions, some other suggestions may be, you know, part of the mix. You know, whether that's commuter tax or congestion pricing or, you know, tolls on East River bridge crossings. You know, those are the kind of options nobody's going to like. Yeah. But unless we get, you know, some unexpected help, or some might argue expected help from the new administration to help us with public mass transit, we're going to have to do some of those, you know, tough choices, you know, on our own. The MTA And, you know, the subways and the buses and the rail lines are just too important, you know, to our community and to our economy. And they're in real trouble right now.
Jay in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with New York State Controller Tom DiNapoli. Hello.
Yeah, hi. If you go to a website, MFFAIS.com, it tracks all the institutional investments in and out of individual stocks. And it lists on November 14th that the New York State Common Retirement Fund bought 11,501,000 shares of Ford. I'd like him to try to justify that expenditure.
You know, I'll check out that specific date. You know, bear in mind, we have some of our portfolio under active management, and then we have a lot of it in indexes. That's, you know, a significant part of how we manage it. So sometimes people ask us specific questions on a transaction, you know, when that's, you know, part of an index and part of something that, you know, our money managers, are controlling. What we do, if we see something that we don't like, you know, we ask for a review, and there are times where we change the people who are managing our money, or we may choose to be in a different index. You know, there's this great debate in investing as to whether or not in the long run you do better by doing more through passive investing versus active management of your assets. You know, that's a debate that goes, you know, back and forth. And, you know, if you look at a decision in one day, it may look one way today. It looks very different, you know, 5 or 10 years down the road. But, Jay, I'll take a look at that specific decision and that transaction. My guess is it was part of, part of an index decision and part of something that was a passive management, something that wasn't a conscious decision in terms of our actively managed portfolio.
Does it make any sense to be buying Ford this month in any context?
Well, again, because of our size, we have the benefit of being diversified, and we work with different managers, and we look at their track record, and something that might not make sense today might make sense, you know, a year from now. So I don't want to second guess,
right,
you know, without, you know, just double checking
right
that Jay's got the right number,
right,
and seeing
okay
how that investment decision
we,
was made.
We have 1 minute left, and I want to go back to the comment by Susan from Kingston, where she said, is there any interest in the powers that be in trying to retrieve some of the dollars paid out to former CEOs of these bailed out companies? And you filed a suit, I believe, on behalf of the taxpayers of New York, I guess, against Richard Fuld, who was CEO of Lehman Brothers, as Lehman Brothers was going down. Are you considering anything similar against the CEO of Citigroup, given its problems, to recover some of the losses on behalf of the people for mismanagement, which is what I think you you accused Fuld of running the company into the ground?
Yeah, we certainly, you're right in pointing out our action with Lehman. And, you know, I would just say at this point, Brian, that we are continuing to review all of our holdings, all of our losses, and seeing if there are other opportunities to take a similar course of action. No other decisions have been made at this point, though.
What's the basis of a lawsuit there? I mean, it's one thing if somebody breaks the law or, you know, violates civil or criminal law. It's another thing if somebody, in their best faith efforts to make a profit, messes up and the company goes down.
I guess that's the question. Was it a best faith effort, or was it really, you know, very, very poor management decision? And at some point, you know, when you look at the trillions of dollars in lost wealth, you know, that's gone on because of this this terrible problem, and the billions that we've lost with our fund, and we do have a fiduciary responsibility to our beneficiaries and certainly to our taxpayers who also ultimately fund this fund when we think something was, you know, really malfeasance, not just, you know, a good intent that went the wrong way, you know, we then have an obligation to step up and try to enforce some kind of accountability. And I think that's part of, you know, the change in this whole industry that everybody would like to see. Some of it's going to come from government regulation and law. Some of it's going to come from these kind of, you know, accountability actions that institutional investors are going to bring to bear.
A few rays of sunshine in among a lot of bad news from New York State Controller Tom DiNapoli this morning. Are we the new Detroit?
Well, let's just say we're still New York, and it's a tough time. But you know what? New York's had tough times before. I'm always betting on New York as a city, as a state, and the people of New York. We're going to get through this, and we'll look back one day and say, oh, do you remember how bad it was? And good times will come again. We just don't know when.
Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll continue in a minute with Neil Irwin from The Washington Post, and we'll get into the guts of this Citigroup bailout. It's so complicated. We'll try to figure out what it's all about and why it might or might not work. Wall Street likes it, by the way, so far. Assuming that's why the Dow is up 225 points so far this morning. Stay with us.